Sundays. Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Mfundisi, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, sir.
I hope any appeal.
I'll see appeal. The Lord is good. And with you?
No, we are well, Mfundisi. Cannot complain at all. Thank you so much for joining us and making time for us this afternoon. Now, we're continuing to talk about the subject we started yesterday, the unity in the body of Christ. And of course, Christ tells us to be unified. And this concept of church unity is sometimes referred to as being part of the body of Christ. But exactly in practical terms, how does that look like? And so that's what we want to actually want to come out of this discussion with today. Now, Pastor, how does the Bible reference unity in the metaphor relating to the body of Christ?
Maybe I should greet the listeners first before I answer your question.
Yes.
I think what is important is that the Bible is actually using the word, we are members of the body of Christ.
Mm.
And the reason why the Bible is, or Christ is using that, it's because while there are different members, there is one body. There are no many bodies.
Mm.
Therefore, there are different limbs within the body, but there is one body, not many bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, what is important, Christ was trying to say to everyone that we may be different and we may have different functions, we may play different roles, and we may have different tastes, but we are all embraced in one body. And that one body, it's what is called Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
We are bodied in one thing. There's one body, we are different limbs in that body. And therefore, we are not different at all. It's not different bodies, it's one body. That's why the Bible is using that metaphor, the body metaphor.
Okay, interesting, very interesting. Now, as a worldwide, diverse, body, how is that unity even possible? Is it really possible, or it's something that we would like to achieve at some point?
There is always a terminology or a phrase that is used, unity in diversity.
Okay, all right.
Now, when you deal with the world church is dealing with dynamics, and those dynamics are differences in cultures, differences in understanding, differences in how we worship, and even differences in races. Therefore, the world church, when it talks about unity, it does not exclude that we may be united, but our unity does not necessarily mean that we are uniform, as we have indicated yesterday. We may be diverse, but in our diversity, there is something that unites us. Now, we all know that we believe in the Bible, but the Adventist Church has the 28 fundamental beliefs, which is something that we all in the world church are subscribing to. Therefore, it is something that gives us a face, and it is something that shows everyone that there is unity in the church. We are not united in all other things. We're not united in how we wear, because we wear different. What unites us, it's what we believe. And what we believe, it's our 28 fundamental beliefs that unites us as the world church.
Interesting, Pastor, you mentioning the fundamental beliefs. Now, how do we then reach that global consensus on these beliefs? Because some may infringe, for instance, on our different cultural beliefs. Would we then be able to have a consensus on such?
This is a very good question. Remember, the Adventist Church uses what we call a committee system.
Okay.
And because they use a committee system, they also follow what we call representative form of governance.
Mm-hmm.
And Every sphere, when a policy or a fundamental belief is established, it is represented in a body that is establishing that.
I see.
And therefore, the fundamental beliefs, we discuss them. There may be issues that are arising from a local church,
mm-hmm.
and those issues get reported to the local conference.
Mm-hmm.
And the local conference, through its executive committee, would report those issues to the union, and the union would do the same to the division, and the division will then take that particular thing and send it to the subcommittee that was created by the session to deal with that so that it can be recommended
mm-hmm.
in the next session. Therefore, you can see that in that committee, there's also representation from all divisions,
okay.
so that you can keep the diversity in that unity also there.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, once the decisions are made, those decisions are endorsed by a session, general conference session. And the general conference session, there is no conference in the world that is not represented. Therefore, when a decision is made for any fundamental belief to be established or even to be reviewed or to be taken out of the fundamental beliefs, the world church is represented. Every conference is represented. Therefore, there is no particular group that decides for other people.
We all decide
that this is the route we are going to take. Therefore, that's where unity is. And of course, we vote in the Adventist Church.
Mm-hmm.
Once we vote, even if I did not want that particular clause to pass through, if a vote is conducted and a simple majority has voted, then we all fall in. Because we believe that when the vote is taken, God has given us direction.
Mm.
Therefore, there is unity that is there, and that unity is embraced by our diversity in the whole world as we sit and make decisions on these issues.
Mm. Interesting that, you're saying that they would also, go to a vote after the whole process that you mentioned, and then it would go to a vote, et cetera, et cetera. Now, for instance, in issue of a fundamental belief or a principle, effectively is a spiritual matter. Should it be decided upon a casting of a vote?
Remember that a spiritual matter also needs to be discussed.
Mm.
And we also need to agree. Remember, the fundamental beliefs are not the Bible.
Mm.
They are teachings from the Bible.
I see.
Therefore, when we are presenting teachings and principles from the Bible, I may not see it as a principle,
but
you may as a principle.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we are voting. And therefore, if the simple majority says it's a principle, then it simply means that I need to relook at my stance. Because if the majority is saying it's a principle, then we follow that. If I'm not happy with that, then there is a process I can follow.
Mm. All right. But very interesting and very well put, quite succinctly as well. Now, Pastor, as we close off our discussion this afternoon, I want to check with you. How should the members then of the body of Christ, as it were, should handle disagreements, especially in a public sphere?
Okay. The church has two well-established approaches to your question.
Mm-hmm.
The first approach is the Matthew 18 approach, that even before it goes to the public, we nip it in the bud privately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, if unfortunately we were not able to nip it in the bud, what then happens is that when it goes to the public, there is a process that is being followed.
Okay.
Because someone else must now be informed that we have not agreed, and the board must be informed that we have not agreed and the business meeting. Therefore, there is a process that we follow. It's when an individual has an issue with another individual. Now, the second approach, it's when an individual has an issue with the organization itself.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I have an issue with the organization, I don't stand on top of the roof and say, I don't agree with everything that the church is saying. The process is I would go to my local church, and in my local church, I would raise an issue of discomfort to me.
And then
the local church would reason with me. And if we do not agree with the local church will escalate the matter to the conference. And the conference will reason with me together with the church.
Mm-hmm.
And if the matter is not resolved, then it goes up until, if it's a spiritual matter, it's going to land up at Biblical Research Institute. If it's an administrative matter, it will end up at the General Conference Executive Committee. But every time when there is a disagreement, there is a process that we need to follow. We don't cause chaos and divisions when we have disagreements. That's not how the church practices the unity that we are talking about today.
It's a beautiful process you're talking about. Is it therefore by default, or has the church failed or the members? Because we may have seen, from time to time, some disagreement, spilling out to social media platforms, Facebook and all of that. And I then wonder if this process, excellent process you're talking about, has been flouted or what?
I think the problem there, once again, is twofold. When we elect administration in any conference or at any level,
right,
that administration that is elected, part of its responsibility is to educate members.
I see.
Be it the administration in the local church or administration in the local conference, the responsibility that administration has is to educate.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, when members are not educated, what they would end up doing, they would end up bleeding on social media,
even though
social media did not cut them. But lack of information can spill over there. The second area is that sometimes when members are bringing matters to us as administrators in any of the levels, we sometimes have a deaf ear. And when we have a deaf ear, of course, members will go out there because they want to be heard. To be heard is one of the basic needs that all human beings want.
Yeah.
And if the church is not hearing us, the social media is going to hear us.
Mm.
Therefore, at the church, we also need to ensure that we educate, and secondly, that our ear is not deaf, so that we don't end up creating an environment which we cannot control.
Yeah, very loud and clear. Well, Pastor Gwala, I must thank you so much for your time, and that you've actually come to very eloquently explain this, because sometimes you wonder if there is truly unity, why should we be seeing these things playing out in the public? But you have indeed dealt with this, because it actually gives then an impression that this unity in the body of Christ is just theoretically is something that is just there on the pulpit. It's a theoretical thing and not really a practical thing. But I do thank you for coming through and actually unpacking the meaning of this particular issue.
Thank you very much, sir, and thank you to the listeners. I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
Thank you so much. Tomorrow we're connecting, same time, same place, one last time.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.